Welcome to the Chief of Anything podcast, in this four-tone, vier-klang format with Catherine Woods and Dominic Klimek. Our vier-klang format talks about the interplay of purpose, vision, values and strategies, and about what happens to companies when we bring these four together. Here I hear firsthand how the vier-klang strategy has transformed companies and what I can expect from its implementation.
Hello, Dominic. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful today, Catherine. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic and I am super excited because today we have the wonderful Sami Bencikrun with us. Sami is the CEO of Morissier. Sami, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I couldn't be better. It's a great day. The sun is shining in Berlin. It's all wonderful.
Fantastic. Sami, we are super curious to hear about your experiences with the vier-klang model of purpose, vision, values, and strategies. And before we kick off telling everyone who you are and what you do, do you have a little story for us that you would like to kick us off with?
Let me maybe start with sort of, you know, me and on how we've started the company and with what idea I came with. There's a wonderful article in the Gründerszene where it says you need to be really, really stubborn throughout the starting process of a company. And you know, I'm kind of that stubborn person, and I've in the first years of the company always pushed things very, very hardcore. Until there were a couple of realizations on, you know, stubbornness at some points don't bring you too far, and have sort of limitations in the process, you know, realizing that there is other mechanisms and methods really brought me enlightened me to sort of change the way I'm acting. So I think that this is sort of a good starting point to the, you know, purpose, vision, values topic, you know, from really stubborn guy to someone that actually rethinks from different perspectives.
Fabulous. And now that we already know that you're a stubborn guy who can push his business forward, what else is there to know about you? Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah. So again, my name is Sami. I'm born and raised in Berlin. I really identify myself as a Berliner, which for people from, for example, Munich might be a little bit challenging. We've started talking about that. But I do identify myself as really this international guy. My father is from Morocco. My mother is from Poland. I grew up in that typical, you know, Berlin, you know, two Berlins coming together, a lot of friction, a lot of everything happening. And I lived in London, I lived in Paris, I live on the east coast of the US, and I'm now spending my time in between basically Berlin and the east coast of the United States. So I'm, you know, try to see the world on a very, very global scale and international. It's sort of the, you know, the headline, if you will, is I am very, you know, that international type of guy. And so everything that comes with that curiosity, you know, I like to discover, I like to travel, I like to speak to new people, you know, sucking in new ideas and thoughts in order to sort of change them in my mind to create new ones. So I think that describes me quite well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I would love to know, what's the purpose of Morissier? And you're the CEO. So what is your purpose in Morissier?
Yeah. So Morissier's purpose is to accelerate scientific breakthroughs and advance research around the world, right? That is everything that we do day in, day out really starts with that message. If I'm doing an interview, if I'm doing an investor's pitch, I really start with exactly this little sentence right there.
Oh, and what's your vision for the next 5 years when everything went ridiculously well?
Yeah, when you say ridiculously well, I listened to Michael in our sessions that we've had with him 1.5 years ago, and I was always struggling with that. To be very honest, we've iterated since then a lot around it. But we came to a conclusion that if it really goes ridiculously well, we will have every scientific paper, every scientific document on this planet running through the Morosier engine and being validated and being checked by the Morosier research integrity check by our workflow suite. So we've adapted a little bit the model to really fit our needs. But that's sort of what we see in the ridiculously well section.
That is brilliant. And you know, that's what the vision is all about, right? So if everything goes ridiculously well, where are we going to end up? And having every scientific paper on the planet running through your system, that is a fantastic vision to go with and to work with. And what I'm really curious about is, you know, how did you get to that? What was the process of the workshops? You already mentioned you were working with Michael. Michael is one of our founders here at the Vierklang Strategy Coaching, also one of the founders of the CoA Academy. And, you know, you went through this process with him. For someone who hasn't gone through the process yet, what would they have to imagine?
Yeah. So let me maybe first talk about the process itself. What I think we should also spend time on, but I'm sure you're going to go down that path, is how I arrived at that time to actually do that series of workshops. But let me talk about the process itself. So the way we've done it, it was in the COVID times. So everything was virtual, which is something, something that for me, I needed to get used to, because I'm this type of guy that loves to meet in person. I love to, you know, sit across someone specifically, you know, especially when it comes to workshops and really doing those, you know, big decisions, these big iterations. So in the time that I've done the workshop together with my team and Michael, we had a set of 6 or 7 workshop, a series, all via Zoom. Michael had an incredible setup. I'm still talking about his setup, with 3 or 4 cameras, and then he had a white paper, and then he had screen sharing. Strange. I don't know how he did it, but it was marvelous because it really guided us nicely through the process. And the starting point really was we had a blank piece of paper which was a Google Doc page, and he basically took us on that journey with really great questions. To take out the quintessence of everyone involved in the company. So the leadership, the extended leadership to a certain degree as well, we're all in that one room. And he asked the question to all of us. We were back then, we had 4 C-levels. We had, I think, 5 or 6 VPs and director level people involved. So it was quite a big group of people who shared from their all perspectives on, you know, what do they feel is the purpose? What do they feel is the vision? And then we iterated on it. To a certain point, we throughout those workshops, we got to a point where I think it was time to say, you know, let's agree or disagree, but let's commit. So I think that, you know, that is sort of from storming to norming to at the end finding, you know, that ending point where I think, and me as one of the founders, we're 2 founders, by the way, needed to sort of take a very clear stance and say, all right, you know, that's it. You know, we'll go with that and we'll make sure that, you know, the company follows and believes.
So it was you, the C-levels and the leadership team. What about all the employees? Were they involved as well?
We involved them very, very tangentially. We had a couple of questions that we have asked them. So they, you know, they filled out a questionnaire, but they weren't part of the workshops. In hindsight, maybe something that I would have done a little bit differently, quite frankly, because, you know, there's always this tension between values that are aspirational and values that are actually there. And I think that I didn't understand that difference when we had started to do the workshops. And I feel that if we would have included the entire team, we could have actually arrived to a set of values that we actually had and not aspired to have in the future, which, you know, created some challenges along the way.
I would love to know about the challenges. When you're saying there were challenges along the way, what does it mean? Like, especially with the employees, that they were not fully on board yet? Or what challenges are you referring to?
Yeah, let me zoom out maybe a little bit. So I need to, bear with me. It's a little bit of a longer story, but basically the way we have started the company, and again, I said in the beginning, I'm quite stubborn and I had my very fixed ideas and very, you know, I would, you know, in hindsight, consider myself a little bit narrow-minded there when we've kicked off the entire processes. To a moment when I started to engage much more with entrepreneurs organization, which is a group of people that meets together, just entrepreneurs, and share their failures, their successes, in a very open way, and share experiences. And based on that path of experience sharing, I really got to understand that there is something that I was missing, some sort of a guiding principle that I needed to develop, that we as a team needed to develop. But back then we already had many employees that, you know, that came on board because I had such a strong view of where we're going to go, right? I think I would consider myself as the guy that is very inspirational, that can stay, you know, be on the stage, that can convince people, that can, you know, sell someone that lives in the desert a heater. You know, that's sort of the way I define myself. But organizationally, I was not experienced at all. I didn't know really what are, you know, the elements to do. So we came basically to that conclusion to create it, to create some sort of a set of guiding principles, which turned out to be the Vierklang model. But, you know, fast forward, what I think we completely forgot to put into that equation are also fundamental business principles, right? Are not sort of that aspirational world that we think we want to create out of just, you know, sitting in a group of people in a team, but, you know, putting reality of business into these decisions. And I'm really talking about, you know, purpose, vision, values, and strategy. All of them, in our case, were lacking the very clear connection to business outcomes, the clear connection to, you know, success metrics and success criteria. And that's why we needed to iterate a little bit further and to really come to a model and to a set of, yeah, guiding principles that we have now and we have developed, I think, over the last 12 to 18 months in a successful way, that we were able to grow the business significantly over the last 12 months. We, you know, changed the organization fundamentally, which caused another set of problems, but something that we're dealing with now. But just from a business perspective, we grew tremendously. We have raised significant amount of venture capital. So I'm happy from that end. And now is, again, you know, that organizational work that we're in the middle of doing, where we need to tweak again. You know, what is, you know, is the purpose, you know, is the formulation right? Is it, you know, is the vision still that? Are the set of values really the set of values that we have in the company? Are the and so on and so forth. So I think the journey was really from having nothing at all, then having something that didn't fit, to now having something that actually works quite well and that we still need to communicate and over-communicate into the organization.
That sounds brilliant. So if I've understood you right, so what you're saying is, hey, we developed something at first, we forgot some fundamental parts, right? So we ended up with purpose, vision, values, and strategies that didn't quite fit right yet. So then we iterated them, we worked with a team. You said in the beginning, we should have involved everybody in that process, in that iteration process. Was there then more people contributing? Did you do that check then to bring everybody in and make sure it's actually the values we live and not just the values we aspire to?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we could do more, and we're still in the process of really involving everything. That organizational work that I was sharing you that we're in the moment doing is exactly that. So we are talking with the people, we're involving the people team, we're really bringing everybody up to speed. We've created an incredible transparency across the organization in terms of, you know, what are our numbers, what are our targets, where do we want to go, and so on. We have never had that, right? I, as a leader, was also just, a leader in Ausbildung, if you will, a leader in training, that needed to understand those foundational principles and what it means. And by now we're at a point where I think we have a good grasp theoretically on what we need to do. And now is the practical part that we need to really just double down on.
That sounds really good. So when, you know, you talk about these reiterations and bringing people in, do you have like a set timeline in which that is happening, or is it more of an ongoing process?
No. So we're setting ourselves timelines. I think everything that does not have an end date is never going to be finalized, quite frankly. So we definitely have an end date in mind. And I think that what we realized outside of this Vierklang model, one of the critical points that we have discovered just recently is not only involving the entire team, but understanding also strengths and weaknesses of everybody involved in that process. We haven't done that. And for that, we are using this, you know, working geniuses model that we're step by step including into our first the leadership, but eventually across the organization, to really understand also, you know, who can contribute in what way, who should we ask in terms of, you know, who takes energy from wandering around and innovating, who is actually, you know, takes on strength and energy from, you know, bringing things to the point and really having a deadline and really wanting to. So really, you know, putting the people in place that guide things forward based on their strength and based on where they take energy from and not where they are frustrated by.
And what does that do to the people being then the ones who can bring in their strengths and being involved in the process? How did that change kind of like how the team acts, would you say?
Let's do a podcast next year. I'll tell you more of the outcomes of that. But I can tell you a little bit from the perspective of myself, understanding for myself what gives me energy and what frustrates me in my work is a huge learning, and having it explicitly called it out brings me, you know, such a new joy, because then suddenly I'm in a position to say, well, those things I need to delegate. Those things are the ones that I don't take any energy of. And I know that there's others that love to do that stuff. So you know, let's just share, divide and conquer. So that realization in context of a clear mission, clear purpose, vision, is just a superpower, a new superpower that we have gained.
You said that in the beginning, that the whole process of the Vierklang strategy was a process of iteration the whole time. And with the way you're telling it now is you have this guiding model and then you add and subtract from that model and looks what fits now, how do we change, and you adjust it. And it sounds to me that you're like an entrepreneur or a CEO in training. It's becoming more somebody who could train other people because it's getting a clearer picture over time. And my question is, your role as a CEO, how important was this for you to have this guiding principle when running a company? How has your life and your work changed, not having to run through the business and now you're having like clear guidelines that help you and support?
Yeah. So the way I would frame it is not, I don't consider myself the CEO of the company. I never really considered myself the CEO. It's sort of a funky title, and then everybody's throwing around with CEO left and right. I always considered myself as the founder of this company and someone that believes in what we do. And I always considered myself that if I lose faith in what we're doing, then everything is done. So that's sort of what, I'm the faith holder of what we're doing, and I'm trying to, you know, motivate and encourage everybody to understand that what we're doing is not only a cool project, not only something that we can be ridiculously rich after the end, but something that actually changes the world for the better. That's the driving force. I'm not motivated by money, partially, of course, right? You know, I also, you know, love the good and the beauty of life. But I'm motivated by sheer belief that we will change the world for the better and for the good. You know, that's so as a founder, And that was my main objective, to just get those people on board that would follow me on that path, but that at the same time, know what they're doing, know how to run a business, support me on how to run a business. So what changed now is I think I turned from just being the founder to also being the CEO of the company. And I make it clear to everyone by now to say, guys, I'm not only the founder of the company. By now, I want to just separate these two concepts. I'm also now the CEO of the company that needs to look over the entire organization and so on. So there has been something that happened mentally over the course, I would say, of the last two and a half years, where that really manifested itself to be not the, you know, the founder mainly, but CEO of Morrissey that has a different view on the company that looks much more, you know, nuanced, data-driven, organizationally systematic. And for that, these guiding principles, you know, without, it's impossible, right? It's not only a good thing to have, it's just fundamental. It doesn't work without.
I love that, Sami. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love the term of, you know, being the faith holder of what we are doing and of changing the world by, you said it in the beginning, accelerating scientific breakthroughs throughout the world, right? So if I just think about what we've spoken about so far, there's a few things that have stuck out for me, right? So the faith holder and being the one who has these guiding principles to help run an organization, to help bring us to put that purpose and that vision into reality, make that happen. It is, of course, important then that we bring everybody in, that everybody is on track, that everybody gets to buy in so that we come to a set of values and guiding principles that fit the organization and that people can identify with. And you've also highlighted how it's important to understand the strengths and the weaknesses so that if everybody brings their strengths to the table and we know what they are, we can really change the world. And you've already mentioned you've had a huge breakthrough over the last year, huge growth in your organization. Kind of like, if you think back of the conversation we've just had, is there anything else you'd like to highlight kind of like as an important summary point we shouldn't forget?
Wow, where should I start? I mean, I've had so many learnings over the time frame, quite frankly, that I by now I could almost write a little book, maybe not book, but short novel. Let's put it short novel, right? On sort of my biggest learnings. I think in summary and just looking back on what kind of process we have been through, I couldn't stress enough the importance of looking at the organization as a system that needs guiding principles to act, to take decisions, to hire, but also to fire, to understand where to grow, where not to grow, all of those in combination. So by now, I think the three elements that are just absolutely necessary are understanding where to go. So, you know, understanding sort of that purpose, that vision, understanding the strategies. We haven't talked too much about strategies. Let me maybe add two words to that. So understanding that in a combination of an organization that you understand and know how it functions, how the operating model within that organization is and how it relates to the PVVS model, and understanding the strengths and weaknesses or the geniuses of everyone and the frustrations of everyone. I think when you got that right, and it takes time, right? You know, you'll fail 100% at least once. Maybe at least 5 times, even 10 times. You'll fail, definitely. But it's worth to just stick to it and understanding on how can you create these three elements in a correct way. And let me just talk briefly about strategy, because what I think I needed to rework, and we're still reworking to that date, is that S at the Fierklang model. We messed up the strategy part. The biggest, that's where we really, really messed up, and we based on lack in clarity. I don't know, right? There, you know, in hindsight, you're always smart. There's many, many things. But I think that the strategy after, after we came out of that series of workshops, we really, it needed much more work, like significantly more work than we initially anticipated. So I think in terms of these three elements, so PBVS, organization, and then the people, the frustration, I think strategy is an entire thing for itself that just needs to be reworked constantly and rechecked and rediscussed ongoing.
How would you approach that now? So if you had to say, like, you're going back and you had to start with strategies again, like you're doing the full workshops again, how would your approach be different this time to make sure that strategies are fully covered?
Yeah. So the way I would look at it is I would approach strategy more from a numerical perspective. So what do we want to achieve in terms of numbers? What are the metrics that we want to achieve? And have them very, very clear and understand with what kind of initiatives we want to achieve those metrics and those numbers. I think we didn't do that in a proper way back then. And when those things are clear, you know, what are your goals for a certain period of time? And what are the metrics that will drive you there? What are the initiatives that you want to take in order to influence the metrics to hit your KPIs? Then it's much, much clearer to actually define the strategies in a concise way, so that at the end you have, you know, 2, 3, 4 very clear strategies that you can work on, that will guide you just as an autopilot mode towards the, you know, vision and then eventually the purpose.
Brilliant. And just as a summary, if you hadn't done it yet, would you do it again?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think definitely. But I want to be a little bit better prepared before the next time. So if I would do it again, I think I would love to ask myself a set of questions first before entering in a workshop and before engaging the entire company in there. I think I wasn't too clear about really what I wanted to get out of there. So I guess it's quite dumb to say, but the moment you have clarity what you want, the outcome will always be better, right? Shit in, shit out. Sorry to say that so clear, but I guess in our case, we weren't too clear at the beginning.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you say that, because a few weeks ago we had Anne-Marie from Kale and Me, and she said similar things. She said, like, the purpose is great, the vision is great, the values, they fit perfectly. And for the strategies, we as the leadership team, we would have needed more clarity to come up with better strategies right away. And for them, it was also this iteration process after, where they said, okay, we need to put in more numbers. Like, we just need more numbers and better metrics to make this whole Vierklang strategy model work for us. So it's interesting to hear the same idea that how important clarity is from you again. Thank you.
Dominic, I thought I was the genius to come up with that now. So now that you mentioned Anne-Marie, I feel just another guy here. No, but it's a great validation. I take it from that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sami, for having been with us here on this podcast. It's been absolutely brilliant to hear your insights. Now, if we do have any listeners who are currently working on accelerating scientific breakthroughs and they want to hear more about what Maurizio can do to help them, how do they find you?
Yeah, so please reach out at any time to me. Also, if you have questions on the Vierklang model, I'm happy to sort of dive in there more. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. That's where you find me. And then we have offices in Berlin. So, you know, meet me in Mitte for coffee, or in London, in Soho for a coffee, or in Boston or Washington, D.C. Those are the four regions that you can find me for a coffee or something else.
Fantastic. And if they aren't in those regions, they go to maurizio.com, I'm assuming.
That's as well. Yeah, that always.
Perfect. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Sami. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
That's it for today with Vierklang Strategy Coaching in our Chief of Anything podcast. If you would like to discover the impact of Vierklang Strategy Coaching for your company, then simply click on the link in the description and get in touch with us.